This next poem is called Jason at 80. That's Jason who stole the golden fleece. When he steals the golden fleece, he's about 20 then, maybe 18. Medea's helped him. They've gone there on the Argo and all that stuff. Lots of heroes pulling the oars. And then he becomes king of Corinth. And he fools around a lot. And then he betrays Medea. It's the one thing he said he cannot, he's promised not to do. She's a witch. But other than that, you know, she's very tough and she frightens him. And then he's, because of this, she takes her revenge and he's kicked out of Corinth. He's about 40. He's got about 8 kids. The Corinthians stone about 3 of them, and then they later pay one of those playwrights that changed the history to write Medea. Anyway, the play of Medea was written partly to say that it was not the Corinthians that killed those children, Medea herself. Anyway, for the next 40 years, Jason wandered all over Greece. Very unhappy fellow. And then finally he decides to commit suicide. He's going to go back to where the Argo is beached. And he's going to do it there. Things don't work out. Which is what this poem is about. It's a little minor joke. The place where the Golden Fleece was and where Medea lived, the country of Colchis, is the modern-day Russian province of Georgia, where Stalin lived. So, Stalin and Medea came from the same town, more or less, which always seemed appropriate. Well, Jason at 80. After 40 years of being kicked around Greece, Jason returned to the Isthmus of Corinth, where the Argo had been beached, golden ship with 50 oars made with seasoned timber from Mount Pelion. Jason sat down by the ship and took from his pouch a small rag, which he unwrapped to reveal a minuscule sliver of vanity, like a small lump of coal or crystal knife that flickered in the sunlight. Peering into this last remnant of self-love, Jason considered his past glories. By then, so far in the past, he had to hear them sung about before he could say, yes, that's it, that's how it happened. But slowly he recalled the yoking of the fire-breathing bulls, sowing the field with dragon's teeth, the theft of the golden fleece as he chased one shining temptation after another. Think of the mistakes that young man made. Handsome, of good family, educated in the best schools, he had never anticipated failure. Therefore, when his devious uncle sent him to fetch the ram's fleece from Colchis, nothing had seemed easier. He hired himself a crew, bought the best boat, and despite mistake after stupid mistake, he always squeaked through, depending on those with more brains to save him from the jams in which he found himself. Whether Hercules, Orpheus, or Medea, that daughter of Colchis, whose other most famous citizen was Stalin. In reward, Jason received the kingdom of Corinth. No matter that he was married to a witch, had broken oaths, and left behind a trail of pillage, which, if he hadn't committed, he had certainly condoned, had slept with every woman he could catch, and thought her well repaid if she could bear his brat. Jason was the kind of man who, if he fell from a window, would land in a passing wagon of hay, the soldier whose breast pocket Bible stops the fatal bullet. After a youth of self-indulgence, good luck, and cheering crowds, he must have felt badly tricked when his world collapsed simply because he cheated on Medea and broke his word to the gods. How could he have thought that was the line not to be crossed, he who had crossed so many? But in no time, his new girlfriend went up in smoke, his sons were slaughtered, and Jason found himself stripped of his crown and bustled from Corinth without so much as a toothbrush reference or casual goodbye. The gates slammed shut, guards on the walls tossed down a few rocks, and Jason wound up on the outside forever, left to fend for himself, the one thing he could not do. For the next 40 years, he was hounded from city to city as he sought out old cronies who refused to help or even see him. He lived as a beggar, an outcast, whose only treasure was that tiny sliver of vanity, which he carried with him like a lump of coal or crystal knife with which to gouge and torment himself. But eventually he returned to the Isthmus of Corinth. And as Jason crouched down within the shadow of the Argo, scratching himself and muttering complaints, he took out that smidgen of vanity and unwrapped it. And oh, it was battered and barely gave off a shine. But as he peered into its black corners, it began to twinkle and generate a slight light, which at last was bright enough to blind him to the bad parts, the betrayed promises and comrades forsworn. And despite his 80 years in judgment of the gods, Jason told himself that he was still a hero, and that he who had been scorned should now scorn all the world by assuming his punishment and taking his own life. And staring up at the Argo, glittering in the late afternoon sun, Jason grabbed a rope, knotted a noose, and flung it over the prow of the ship. And it's this that makes him great, not the girls and good times and flashing acts of bravado, but that 40 years of punishment had taught him zip, that despite hardship and all the evidence to the contrary, Jason still thought he could escape the world's sentence by hurling his ego furiously against it, like a rock through a plate glass window. But the world, here in the form of the Argo herself, would have none of it. And as Jason cranked up his courage to hang himself in a last gesture of self-assertion, the Argo shuddered, rolled out of the sunlight, toppled, and crushed Jason, a puny figure, standing in the sand. Buffy, you still...